In the 10th and final lesson of 10 Hours of Bitcoin, Liquid Sidechain, Nick Jonas will teach you how sidechains allow Bitcoin to enable new features quickly and safely. This lecture can be found on the Bitcoin Lectures YouTube channel. Once you have finished this lecture, you will have completed 10 Hours of Bitcoin. The best thing to do now is dive deeper and keep learning. Share this site and podcast with your friends and family. If you prefer the video format of these lectures, check out the link on the show notes page or head to 10hoursofbitcoin.com. You can find our Twitter handles there if you want to hit us up with any questions or suggestions, and we'd love for you to donate to the project. Finally, remember to share and subscribe to the podcast to help us reach as many people as possible. Thanks for spending this time with us. Best of luck.
Welcome to Jonas Nick.
Does this work? One, two, does it work? Okay, thank you. Thanks for the introduction also. So my first Bitcoin meetup was 2013 here in Zurich, when we were just five dudes in a Starbucks. And one of these people went, unfortunately, to Silicon Valley. I left for Germany. Another person very publicly rage-quitted Bitcoin altogether. And the only person still left from that meetup is Lucas. So I'm very grateful to this community and very honored to be here today. Okay, today I'm a research engineer at Blockstream. I mostly work on cryptographic implementation for the next features in Bitcoin, Liquid, and Lightning. Almost 10 years ago, when Satoshi created the Bitcoin Genesis block, he embedded the message, "Chancellor on brink of second bailout for banks," into this block. And this was the headline of the London Times that day. In Satoshi's writings, he continued to criticize how central government currencies prevents getting to a peaceful, prosperous, and global society. In the case of bailouts in 2009, it was already evident that the incentives of a financial system are broken if risk is not a direct consequence of reward. Where are we today? Now, almost 10 years later, have these problems been solved? Quite the contrary. Bitcoin is as needed as ever. What we have today are currency wars where governments manipulate the price of their currency, which threatens the global economy. We have dystopian societies where the citizens of these countries are surveilled, observed, and controlled at every step. Western democracies are very inspired by that and are slowly moving towards a similar model. We have European companies which are forced to shut down another country's access to the global payment system, which arguably slows down a potential peace process. And we have still people whose mere words can influence global markets in huge effect. That is simply inefficient. Bitcoin can help solve these problems because it's the only currency without central control. It's the only asset with a fixed, predictable supply that can be audited by all the people. It is truly global without anyone allowing to exclude anyone else, and it can be way more private than today's currencies. However, Bitcoin is still very young. And because it can't be shut down, it's very likely that it will continue to mature more and more. It's impossible to predict the future adoption of Bitcoin. But what we can say is that in terms of the technical potential, as we look at it today, there is incredible room for growth. Because Bitcoin transactions are still slow, they are expensive, they reveal way too much about the Bitcoin users. And the Bitcoin price is still very volatile. Exchanges are mostly custodial, which means that they hold their users' funds, and we have Mt. Gox-like scenarios where coins are lost very regularly. We want to improve all those things, but without changing the fundamental security assumptions and decentralization properties of Bitcoin. How do we do that? One solution is to build on Bitcoin in layers. And that way it's possible to innovate without changing anything about the other layers. A sidechain like Liquid can, for example, sit directly on top of a Bitcoin base layer. These layers may have different security assumptions. For example, Lightning security depends on anti-censorship on the Bitcoin layer. And we're going to talk about the security assumptions of Liquid a little bit later. Also, these layers can be combined differently. For example, Lightning can be used on top of Bitcoin, or it can be used on top of Liquid, and thereby gain Liquid's properties. So what is a sidechain and how does it work? A sidechain is a separate blockchain that has its own transaction history and its own rules. The main difference to something like an altcoin is that you're able to use bitcoins on the sidechain and that there's no need for a separate asset. In Liquid, we can still use multiple assets, and we're going to talk about that later. In practice, what it means using bitcoins on the sidechain is that it's possible to send coins from the Bitcoin main chain into the sidechain and back again. Among other rule changes, a sidechain like Liquid has a different consensus algorithm. Instead of blocks being found by miners, blocks are created by a set of known participants called functionaries. They are responsible for generating blocks and enable sending bitcoins in and out of the system. We call sending bitcoins into Liquid peg-ins and out of Liquid peg-outs, and we call bitcoins that we use in Liquid LBTC, short for Liquid Bitcoin. What is the particular purpose of the Liquid sidechain, and what are the new rules that Liquid introduces? The main purpose of Liquid is to be an inter-exchange settlement network. It addresses the needs of traders who use exchanges and the needs of exchanges who want to provide a smoother and more secure trading experience. In Bitcoin, exchanges can only credit their users with coins once the transaction has a few confirmations. A typical value there is about 3 confirmations. We expect that this takes 30 minutes for bitcoins to arrive, but it can take much longer, like over an hour. By using a set of functionaries that come to consensus instead of using proof-of-work mining, the time it takes for a transaction to be final can be reduced. In Liquid, a block appears exactly every minute, and after 2 minutes, a transaction is finalized or settled. In today's world, often capital in the form of cryptocurrency is uselessly parked at multiple exchanges, which is inefficient, and it has significant counterparty risk in case the exchange explodes. So one very simple application of Liquid is when a trader has bitcoins on an exchange and wants to send it to another exchange. Then the exchange could just do that by sending Liquid Bitcoin through Liquid to the other exchange. And that these Liquid Bitcoins can then be credited as Bitcoins. In this case, the trader doesn't even have to know that Liquid is being used in the background, but it has the advantage that his coins, are moved around very quickly. While Bitcoin is the native asset on Liquid, it's possible for any user of Liquid to issue new assets. And the way this works is that the user creates a special transaction, an issuance transaction that creates new assets. These assets can be used in exactly the same way as Bitcoin, but they can't be sent back to the main Bitcoin chain, of course. They have to remain on Liquid. And unlike Bitcoin, they have no intrinsic meaning. It's totally up to the issuer to define the characteristics of the token. This enables tokenizing a variety of things, like fiat, securities, altcoins, and collectibles. The issuance transaction also optionally creates so-called reissuance tokens that are initially given to the issuer. Any holder of the reissuance token can generate new units of this asset. Conversely, the issuer can prove that no reissuance token was created or that all reissuance tokens have been destroyed in order to show that an asset is finite. As far as we know, the only assets that were created on Liquid so far were collectibles created by developers and early adopters. Using Liquid and issued assets, it's possible to trade tokens, including Bitcoin, without having to trust a third party. This does not require complicated smart contracts, but can be entirely expressed using partial transactions. Let's assume Scrooge McDuck has tokenized US dollars on Liquid, and being a smart businessman, wants to buy Bitcoin. So he creates a transaction that takes US dollar as an input and Bitcoins as an output and sends these Bitcoins to himself. Such a transaction is invalid because the inputs and outputs don't match. In this case, Bitcoins would be created out of thin air. But he can send this transaction to an exchange, hoping that another participant would see it and complete the trade. Let's assume there's someone who really loves US dollars. He would take Scrooge McDuck's partial transaction and add his own Bitcoin input and US dollar output. Both parties would check that their inputs and outputs are included in the transaction. They sign the transaction, and then the transaction can be included in the Liquid blockchain. The trade either goes through or it does not, but there's no third party controlling the assets for any of these participants at any point in time, and therefore there's no way to lose them. Issued assets in Liquid have a couple of advantages compared to other token systems. Because Liquid is its own blockchain, it doesn't have the problems associated with meta protocols building on Bitcoin transactions directly, like colored coins, for example. These systems only scale as well, or rather as bad, as Bitcoin, and have the same transaction fee. Because miners don't validate the rules of these meta protocols, it's not possible to build light clients that rely on the most proof of work chain. Similarly, using tokens on top of altcoins, for example, ERC-20s, requires high fees because Ethereum still aims to be a decentralized network, for example, instead of a special purpose chain like Liquid. The Liquid software is built on Bitcoin and therefore uses one of the most battle-tested code bases that we have right now. In altcoins, on the other hand, it has historically been very easy to make mistakes which led to fund loss. Most importantly, altcoins are centrally controlled by their founders. The founders, they have control over code base, or they have massive influence over the supposedly independent consensus process, or they own a huge percentage of the available coin supply. Liquid, on the other hand, is managed by a strong federation with skin in the game. Moreover, in Liquid, Bitcoin is a special asset that is not controlled by a single party. Instead, the functionaries run a consensus protocol to ensure that they always exchange Bitcoin for Liquid Bitcoin. As a result, there's no single point of failure when using Bitcoin on Liquid. As for the other assets, issued assets, this depends on the issuer. Also, in Liquid, transactions are by default confidential. Let's see what that means. This is an example of how the blockchain would store a transaction if transactions were not confidential. There's one transaction with a 2 Bitcoin input and a 4 tokenized US dollar input and 3 outputs. One of them is a 1 US dollar output, 3 US dollar output, 2 Bitcoin output. Now with confidential transactions, both the amount and the asset types are hidden. In general, nowadays, it's very easy to encrypt things, but the magic here is that there's still a proof that no new asset is created out of thin air, and verifiers of the chain will check that. Confidential transactions protect Liquid users from unwanted exposure. In the particular case of Liquid as an inter-exchange settlement network, it protects against competitor analysis and also prediction of market patterns, which would allow attacks like front-running. When we generate addresses in Liquid, they are about twice as long as normal addresses, and that is because there is an additional key included there, which is the blinding public key. Now, if someone would want to give outside auditors the ability to view transaction amounts and assets, we could export and give them the blinding private key that they can import and then look at the transaction. Also, in traditional Bitcoin anonymization techniques such as CoinJoin, there is the problem that if you want to mix your coins with someone else, you must agree on the exact amount that is being mixed. If there was a difference, then you could just look at the transaction and check which output belongs to which input amount. This is a problem because in the future in Bitcoin, of course, we want privacy by default, and every transaction should be a coin join and a mixing transaction. In Liquid, that's possible today because due to confidential transactions, the amounts are just not visible. Liquid is built on the open source sidechain platform Elements. And Elements itself is built on the Bitcoin core code base. Elements enables basic features like issued assets and confidential transactions, but it doesn't have a native Bitcoin functionality, and it doesn't specify a concrete consensus algorithm. People can use it today to build their own sidechains. The interfaces of Bitcoin and Liquid are very similar, so developers familiar with Bitcoin should feel right at home. And similarly, software that works for Bitcoin can be made compatible with Liquid, usually with very few modifications. Liquid also adds a few new operations to Bitcoin scripting language to enable more powerful smart contracts. For example, it's possible to build huge one of N or N of N multisig wallets, and also covenants, which enable vault contracts for more resilient wallets. And the basic idea of a vault is that even if an attacker is able to steal your private key, you're able to revert that transaction within a certain time frame with a second key. Also, because Liquid has this simpler consensus model than Bitcoin, it can also adopt features that are supposed to land in Bitcoin eventually more quickly, such as Schnorr signatures, Taproot, Sighash no input, etc. Segregated witness, for example, was part of Elements more than a year before it was activated on Bitcoin. Let's talk a little bit about the trust model of Liquid. Just like in Bitcoin, Liquid users running full nodes, they validate the transaction history and they check that no coins can be moved without knowledge of the corresponding private key, and that no coins are created out of thin air. Also, just like in Bitcoin, the functionaries can reorganize the blockchain, similar to miners, and undo transaction. In the case of Liquid, more than a third of functionaries would be needed in order to create this attack. So for Liquid version 1, that's six or more functionaries which have to be malicious to do that. In theory, the same malicious third of functionaries can steal bitcoins on the main chain that back Liquid. Issued assets are unaffected because their backing depends on the issuer. We at Blockstream, we developed several defenses to secure the bitcoins held by the functionaries. For example, in practice, the number of malicious functionaries required is more like two-thirds, because functionaries are constantly communicating with each other and check for partitions and abort the protocol very early unless there's a global network attacker blocking connections, all connections. And we make that difficult by using or only allowing communications between the functionaries through the Tor anonymization network to obfuscate the traffic, protect functionaries and their locations from each other. One crucial part of the security design is that the keys to the Bitcoin are not stored directly on the functionary servers themselves, but they are on a hardware security module, HSM. The HSM speaks to the servers in a very simple protocol and does very few things, but validates some parts of what it signs. Therefore, a hacker who's able to break into a functionary server cannot sign forks and cannot arbitrarily steal bitcoins, because the HSM is able to detect and prevent that. In the case where all HSMs suddenly stop working, they explode or broke in any other way, it's possible to regain access to these otherwise lost coins through an emergency process. And that is because the bitcoins held by the functionaries are not simply stored in a multisig wallet, but there's an additional branch that uses the opcode check sequence verify and allows the coins to be spent by a separate 2 of 3 federation if the coins have not been spent in 2 weeks. So that means in practice that the functionaries continually try to respend coins, and once they don't do that for 2 weeks, because of some serious malfunction, the coins are now spendable by the second federation. But in any case, the security of Liquid depends on a strong federation of members and functionaries. And the Liquid network is comprised of a group of exchanges, traders, financial institutions from 9 countries across 4 continents in order to not have a single point of failure. And Liquid is completely operated by its members. Blockstream has no control over the network and only serves as a technology provider to the members. It was very important from day one in the design that Liquid can continue indefinitely, no matter if Blockstream exists or it doesn't, or if the members receive support from Blockstream or they don't. How do you use Liquid? So Liquid is a public blockchain, which means that anyone can download and use the open source implementation. We call this implementation Liquid D, D for daemon. At the moment, it requires Linux and familiarity with the command line, but we're working on a release of our green address wallet with Liquid support. Now, the easiest way to get liquid Bitcoin is to generate a liquid address using liquidD, send Bitcoins to it, then wait for 102 Bitcoin confirmations, which is about 18 hours, and then wait for this peg-in to complete. Now you can use liquidD to issue assets and use confidential transactions. And a very important point is that as a side effect of the protection against hackers from the HSM, not everyone is allowed to send coins, Bitcoins, back to the Bitcoin main chain. Instead, only the members and functionaries are allowed to do that. So if regular users who are non-members want to do that, they have to do it through a Liquid member. For example, the Rock Trading is an exchange that has already integrated Liquid, and they offer such a service after registration. In the future, it is very likely that the Lightning Network will extend into Liquid. So this means that users can just transparently use Lightning on top of Bitcoin or Liquid and can avoid this peg-out process altogether. But then Liquid members will be able to provide the liquidity, because they can peg out, required for maintaining these Liquid channels, Lightning channels. Sorry. So this is where you can find more information about Elements and Liquid, where to download it, how to use it. We also have a block explorer for both Bitcoin and Liquid at blockstream.info. Check it out. It's really fast, and also it values your privacy. And I'll post these slides later today or tomorrow on the meetup page, so you can look at that at home. So in conclusion, Bitcoin is relevant in 2018. Bitcoin scales by adding layers with different trust models. Lightning Liquid is a sidechain for an inter-exchange settlement network that provides confidential transaction, issued assets, and fast confirmations. And anyone can use Liquid today. So I think we have some time for questions.
Hello, thanks for the great talk. Can you describe a little bit more info about assets on Liquid mm-hmm. Network? Because there is some protocol being developed right now by a team called RGB. Jaco Mazuka and others guys, they're doing this asset management on top of Bitcoin Network and Lightning Network. So is it the same? Or is it different? And if it is different, is there any specification or anything about it?
It is different, but it's RGB and Liquid, I think, can be used both, because RGB is kind of orthogonal. RGB directly uses Bitcoin transactions, similar to colored coins. And whereas Liquid is its own sidechain. So using colored coins has a couple of advantages. One is that it's a proven technology. So Bitcoin will continue to work for the next few years. And we've seen that in the past. So colored coins like RGB, they kind of have an advantage when they argue about liveness. But because it's built on Bitcoin, when there is congestion on the Bitcoin network, because many transactions are being made, then the fees for that will be very high. And also, you don't have the predictable times that you have with Liquid. But I think both techniques, they complement each other.
Do you have description, technical specification?
The question is if I have technical specification of what? Which, the one of Liquid?
Yeah.
Yes. So there is a mathematical paper, if you're interested in that. I think that can be found through some Googling Blockstream confidential assets. That's the name of the paper. If you're looking for that, was that the question? Okay.
Hi there.
Hi.
How do you select the functionaries?
So far, we've talked to the functionaries and asked them if they want to become one. In the future, potential functionaries will come to us and ask if they will be included into the next release of Liquid, and then we will talk with the rest of the functionaries and see if they agree with that.
One more question on functionaries. I'm over here.
Yeah. Hi.
If you have noticed what went on with the EOS functionaries and how they decided to change some consensus rules because of some hacks, or if you go back and watch the interesting proof of work defense by Andreas Antonopoulos, and he basically makes the point, if there is a way for somebody to reverse transactions, then they will sooner or later be effectively coerced to do so. And are you not afraid that the functionaries sooner or later will get served with some subpoenas that forces them to implement some legal actions that break consensus or maliciously abuse their power?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting viewpoint. And so one countermeasure against that is often overlooked is that when we try to build a system like Liquid, we try to make it as private as possible. So even if you would get a subpoena against a certain kind of institution, it would be very hard to figure out what their transactions are. Another countermeasure is that you cannot revert the chain unless you get access to the HSM. And the HSM has some tamper protection. We continuously try to improve that, but it should be very hard just for the functionaries to open the box and try to create forks, because that's not possible just using our software that is running on the HSM. And another thing is, of course, that the functionaries are relatively well distributed around the world, so no single government can issue this kind of subpoena.
Hi, my name is Yannick Zinder. Hey. I have a question about tokenizing securities. Mm-hmm. So is there a function that allows for execution of social and economic rights within the Liquid network, such as payment of dividends or voting processes?
Not right now, but there's no technical limitation why this wouldn't be possible, both things.
Sure. Hey, I'm Danny. Question, today with the given growth of the Lightning Network, would you create Liquid again, or would you use Lightning and implement maybe security partners and so on into this technology?
Thanks for the question. Luckily, I have a backup slide which compares Liquid and Lightning. So again, I think these two protocols are kind of complementary. What Lightning doesn't really, so when you make a Lightning transaction, the only way to do that is you have to find a route through the Lightning graph. And that might not be possible at all times. And if it isn't possible, then you have to wait for confirmations on the Bitcoin chain. So you have the same problem again. We don't have that problem on Liquid. Also, on Liquid, we can have new features that are not possible in Bitcoin and will maybe never be possible, or we don't really know, like confidential transactions. And additionally, we can use issued assets on Liquid. So I think these techniques are kind of complementary, and Liquid definitely has its place, even now that there's also Lightning available.
I have a short question. You said that I would have to register with a federate member to peg out my Liquid bitcoins. Isn't that fully contrary to privacy? I mean.
Yes, it's certainly not ideal. We hope in the future that we also have Lightning in Liquid. So that means that if you have bitcoins on Liquid, you can just find someone who exchanged that for you, just some OTC trader or something, and you can do that trustlessly. And we hope that these people exist in the future, that you don't have to go through that peg-out process. This peg-out process is complicated because we need to make it hard for hackers who gain access to the functionary servers to steal the bitcoins. And this is the main purpose. So we only authorize a few institutions to send bitcoins directly from Liquid into Bitcoin.
Right, one question. I read an article recently about certain negative aspects of Liquid, mainly that Blockstream will try to charge transaction fees as well as sell certain services. Is there anything to this rumor, and what is your opinion about this?
I don't think there are any downsides that I haven't mentioned yet, but I haven't seen that article. I would really like to see it. So it's true that you have to pay a transaction fee. Was that one of the criticisms? Yes. So, yeah, okay. Yes, you have to pay a transaction fee on Liquid. Right now, it's like the lowest transaction fee that's possible on Bitcoin. That's one Satoshi per virtual byte. You need some kind of fee on the system because you have only a fixed space. This is very similar to Bitcoin, where you have 4 megabyte blocks every 10 minutes. We have 4 megabyte blocks every minute. So it's still an auction for this restricted space, so we have to charge fees. And the fees, they are adjusted dynamically, just like in Bitcoin. Wallets do fee estimation. Yeah. Did that answer the question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I think the second part of the question was if, like, Blockstream takes a cut on those fees.
Yes, Blockstream receives these fees. This is true. And they are used to fund the transactions that are made on the Bitcoin side. So when someone sends, does the peg-out process, someone has to do a Bitcoin transaction and pay for it. And right now, we use the fees that were paid in Liquid transactions to do that. Yep.
Great. Thank you so much, Jonas, for this very comprehensive and clear introduction into the Liquid features and the overview about the trust model. So big applause and enjoy.